The Around the NFL Podcast does not tolerate 7-9 bull.
Welcome back to another edition of the Around the NFL Podcast. My name is Dan Hansis, and I am joined by a room filled with heroes, Mark Sessler, Chris Wessling, and Greg Rosenthal. What's up, boys?
Hey, Dan.
Oh, it's great to be back. And you know I check in on the show when I'm not here for the reasons why. You know, you could look at them as positive or negative reasons, you know, toward me. How do you view me? Why? How would I look at the show that I wasn't sitting on? You know what I mean?
Well, how... Okay. How?
But I view it critically with a critical eye because the old Zeuser is not involved. No, I just want to listen to it because I know Colleen's going to do a great job sitting in, which she did. And I needed to be caught up on the NFL because I was a little bit out of pocket this weekend. And that was the first time I got to really experience it from that standpoint. And another great show. You guys are very talented podcasters.
Of the group, you know, if you listen to the whole thing, whose analysis did you find the weakest?
Why would you go there? Why not at least spin it positive?
Well, I think I want to hear as an outsider's, you know, point of view.
Fair question. I will save that answer. This is a tease in the industry to the end of the show.
Okay.
Wow. I'm going to stay tuned.
The Tuesday edition of the Around the NFL Podcast, sponsored and presented by exclusively Mr. Flame's economics class in The Hague, the Netherlands. Mr. F. And thank you, of course.
You want to know how great of a sponsor Mr. F is?
How great, Wes?
He's out there beating the bushes trying to find more corporate sponsors for us. Little does he know that we're just happy with our uncorporate sponsor.
All we ever needed and wanted was someone that cared about us, and now we have Mr. F.
Mr. F. Yeah, I mean, the stark contrast between Mr. F, who is a teacher in The Hague, and our own sales department is one word, organization, and a second word, determination.
Very fair. Very fair. So we're very happy. And today's show will be chock full of goodness. The Monday Night Football recap between the Tampa Bay Buccaneers and the Carolina Panthers. We'll hit some news. There's a fair bit of news to get to. We will listen. I can't say for sure, but I think today is the day we have our final decision for a team of ATL. In fact, I'm going to say it. We're either picking a team or we're not picking a team today. It ends here. A lot of people speculated or criticized, oh, things have, you know, degenerated into farce a little bit. I don't think so.
No, this is going to be entirely organic today, and there will be a vote.
Yeah, there will be a vote, absolutely. We wanted to get it right, and we're going to get it right.
And if we don't pick a team, then one of us will be ritually sacrificed.
That's probably the person just said that.
And then finally, yes, we'll hit up the Thursday night preview as we peek ahead to week 6, an interesting AFC West matchup between the Denver Broncos and San Diego Chargers. So a lot to get to. Very exciting, Wes, in our State of the Union address. What do they call it? The town hall for NFL Network today, which shadowy league figures do not allow us to talk about what was said in said town hall. But I will say that the security dude said, effective immediately, you can no longer attach your security guard to your waistband with one of these, what do you call these things? Waistband attacher things. You need to wear a lanyard. And Wes, like a good company man, immediately now wearing a lanyard. The first in the group. Your thoughts?
Well, I forgot that I had it on and we did a video right before this podcast. I forgot I was even wearing it the whole time. I kind of look like a dork, is my thoughts.
Well, there were people downstairs already like wagering on who would be the first on-air personality to appear with their lanyard around their neck. And it's Wes, although we're not on NFL Network, so they'll never know that.
Bet some people lost some money on that one.
That might be the next round of Win Wes's Toaster might include that question. First one to wear the lanyard inappropriately, which, by the way, is a very college freshman move to walk around campus with the lanyard around the neck.
It is.
And now we're all going to have to do that. Unless we rebel, Greg.
Yeah, just don't even bother. See what happens. Come at me, security.
All right. Let's,
I like it.
Let's talk some Monday Night Football. Yes. In Charlotte, North Carolina, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers traveled for a road game against the defending NFC champions, a game that you would think the Panthers desperately needed, a battle between 2-1-3 teams. But this is football, guys, and you never know what can happen. Because without Cam Newton, who is still sidelined with this concussion situation, the Panthers were unable to really get the offense moving until the second half. And after Derek Anderson threw a costly, costly first and goal interception on a play-action pass, the Buccaneers got the ball at the end of the fourth quarter, marched down the field, and onto the field trotted Robert Aguayo. Aguayo? A young man, a second-round pick who had already missed three kicks, and with maybe his job on the line, and Jason Licht, the GM, biting down, chomping down on the fingernails, attempted a 38-yard field goal with a chance to win the game, and it sounded like this.
A 38-yard field goal attempt for Roberto Aguayo, rookie out of Florida State. Can he put it through the uprights? DePaulis snap, a good one. The spot down. The kick is airborne. It is airborne. It's long enough. It is good. And the Tampa Bay Buccaneers have defeated the Carolina Panthers in Charlotte, North Carolina, 17-14. Roberto Aguayo atones for two missed field goals.
Nobody told me it was Roberto, not Robert. Thanks, guys.
Have knocked off the defending NFC.
I bet you would have told Colleen.
There were a couple of issues to deal with there, and we just wanted to allow you to get through it.
That was Gene Deckeroff, who, by the way, sounds like a Gene Deckeroff.
I wish we had Sean McDonough had a great call on Monday Night Football. You've been getting after him, but he was terrific on the Aguayo.
He was excited about it. WDAE in Tampa with the call. Aguayo, Roberto Aguayo, who had been 3 of 7 on the season before, makes that kick. Time expires. Set up, by the way, I think a little nod from the football gods towards Aguayo, who's going through a lot of stuff right now. The face mask penalty that made a long field goal in that spot, a very makeable field goal, 38 plus 15. Somebody can help me out with that.
Killer flag.
53-yarder. But the Bucs win, Wes, and a game the Panthers absolutely could not lose. They do. What's next for Carolina?
Well, I think the Panthers, I think you can – Greg said this last night. Come December, they're going to wish they had this game because they're going to need it. And they shot themselves in the foot so many different ways. Derek Anderson moved the ball. Greg Olsen was wide open running through the secondary all game. It wasn't like they struggled for offense. They just struggled to hold on to the ball. Derek Anderson got caught going for the rushing third down conversion, fumbled it, and the next drive, they 81-yard drive ends at the 1-yard line when he throws an interception on first down.
Giving you flashbacks, maybe, Mark, to that's Derek Anderson. Everyone always, like, we talk about Derek Anderson, one of the best backups in the league, but we saw why he's a backup.
Yeah, well, I was sitting in at my laptop, was just about to tweet out, listen, the Browns should have just kept Derek Anderson from 2010 until now. It would have been just as good as anything else. And I was just about to click send. 4 seconds later, interception happens, delete tweet, and get out of there.
I thought that was one of the worst play calls of the year, and I know you could say, well, the play call wasn't bad, but no, you got to know your personnel. Derek Anderson is not a good quarterback. He's a fill-in for your MVP, and you just ripped off 3 straight runs of plus 10 yards.
That's what's crazy.
And you give the ball again to your back. You get in the end zone. You let him run it 3 times in a row if you have to. Get in from 1 yard out. Putting the ball in Derek Anderson's hands there was asking for disaster.
Not even the worst play call in this game.
Which one was that?
Dirk Cutter calling for a run to set up a long Roberto Aguayo field goal on the missed field goal the drive before the game winner.
The coaching in this game was driving me crazy. I wanted to write right after the game, but it seemed too mean-spirited. Dirk Cutter is going to be the first ever head coach
Humble
to get
Greg.
Fired after a win. Because that was one of the worst coaching jobs I've ever seen. Ron Rivera and Cutter went back and forth trying to blow this game. Cutter wanted no part of that field goal drive, by the way. The only reason that they scored is because Ron Rivera kept taking timeouts and forced them to not just run out the play clock. He had no faith whatsoever in Jameis Winston, who did not have a good game, but, oh, by the way, had a couple great third down throws on that drive to win the game. Ron Rivera's timeout was totally insane, and the fact that right after they ran the ball to set up that long Aguayo that didn't fail, he did the same thing again with 40 seconds left and timeouts. He had plenty of time to move it down the field, and they were ready to just set it up for another 53-yarder by Aguayo. It was wild. Cutter has done this week after week. He has been one of the worst coaches in terms of late game management in the league.
This was a throwback game to like the 1970s, before kickers were reliable. You don't see games in the NFL now where a 50% kicker causes coaches to do things differently, or one coach is worried about his kicker and quarterback, the other one is worried about his quarterback, but has a bizarre faith in his defense. I don't know why Riverboat Ron thought he had last year's defense.
He took it on 3rd and 4. That's not that tough of a down. They were going to overtime before he took that timeout.
Watching Roberto Aguayo kick is...
Aguayo
kick is kind of like when you're stuck in a large conference, or maybe if it's a church on Sunday, or it's some speaker where the speaker is struggling and you are just waiting and hoping that they don't continue to fumble over their words and have a disastrous time as they're starting to sweat more and more.
You're cringing. You're
rooting for him. Yeah. You're not rooting against him. And it's just, you know, where he was drafted, it set up this anti-drama and this horrible situation for him early in the year. You're right, Wes. You don't see other kickers struggle like this and last on a team.
And what do you do? I mean, let's say his struggles continue. Do you cut the second round pick?
I think you have to keep him on the roster and just sign another kicker.
And then you make your special teams weaker or whatever. You weaken the depth.
You waste the roster spot for a little while.
I mean, he was like one of college's most accurate kickers. It's not that he can't. It's just that I think it's got to be mental, and you've got to see it through.
There's a lesson here, because who thinks that he'd be doing this if he was a 6th-round kicker?
No.
It wouldn't be happening. There's a lesson here. Jason Light, when he drafted him, said, I like the way this kid is wired. You can't predict how a kicker's going to handle this.
Where do the Panthers go from here now? We got
a tough schedule.
Their next 3 games and their season's on the line in the next 4 weeks. They have at New Orleans, a game you would expect Cam Newton to be back for, but you know we don't know for sure. Then they have their bye, and then they have a matchup at home against Arizona, and then at L.A., so not a cakewalk, and then you have KC in New Orleans after that. But they need
to find
a way to win 2 of these next 3 games at the bare minimum. Kiss your season goodbye if you don't do that.
Well, this game showed it's not just about the secondary, and it's not just about missing Cam Newton, because the Bucs are a broken team, missing their top 2 running backs, including the key to their offense, Doug Martin, missing 4 of their best 5 defensive linemen, and they weren't that good before missing all those players. So it's not about Cam Newton missing this game. Jaquizz Rodgers ran all over them in the first half. They set the tempo. The Panthers' defense from a year ago would have never let that happen.
It's another reminder that we were destroying Connor Orr, our co-writer, last week for his power poll where he buried the Panthers. It is our group power poll that is beginning to look rather foolish.
I don't know if we destroyed Connor, or we were more just in awe of him.
I like to hype it up and make it sound like Connor's pulled a massive comeback.
His longtime anti-Panthers belief is really coming home to roost right now.
But you know, he did pick against them incorrectly 15 times last year. So eventually he was going to be right. It's finally coming home for the old Orr man.
Dave Gettleman is one of the best GMs in the league. But he's put all of his resources into the defensive line. Hog mollies and blue goose pass rushers that he loves. And their leading sacker is a benched safety named Trey Boston, who has 2 sacks this year.
Kaywon Short not playing well.
Wow. That's it for the Monday Night Football Talk. Let's do some news.
You doubt the powers of the great Kazoo?
That's a reference to a cartoon from Wes and Mark's youth. Let the audience
I don't know what that is.
It's Flintstones from the 60s, but we saw it on reruns.
Nice attempt at ageism.
Oh, yeah. Well, Mark is 1 year older.
Oh, happy birthday, Mark.
Officially.
Since Mark's birthday on Monday.
I observed it.
Tell us what happened on your birthday.
Hung out with the kids and the wife. Had a nice time, but very low-key and not observing it in general.
You have a couple glasses of wine to sell?
Sure. I don't need a birthday for that, but I mean,
did you go flying?
No, we call it a low key evening around the homestead fireplace.
You said you were enjoying how ugly and bizarre this Monday night game was. This was the first good, so bad it's good game of the year. It was fun.
Watch the end of it. Yes, and it was a hideous affair.
Let's do some news. We'll start with the San Francisco 49ers, one of the very worst teams in the NFL. They've finally decided to make a change at quarterback amidst a four-game losing streak with Blaine Gabbert starting. Chip Kelly announced that Colin Kaepernick will be the team's starter in Week 5. Kelly announced this on Tuesday. Kaepernick said, quote, "I'm excited and ready to go." Blaine Gabbert, on the other hand, not happy. His quote, "It sucks. I don't like it." Greg, he doesn't like it, but he can't be surprised, can he?
He probably is surprised because he believes that he's better than Kaepernick. All reports have indicated that he's outplayed him in practice. And you don't get to where you are being Blaine Gabbert unless you have a lot of belief in yourself. But if, you know, he looks at the cold hard facts in terms of his yards per attempt, 5.9, and how many open receivers, you just got to give it another shot. At least we've seen Colin Kaepernick do something at the NFL level.
We've seen enough of Blaine Gabbert. We're right. Fed up with him, and in a month, we'll feel the exact same way about Colin Kaepernick.
Probably.
I don't know why anybody is acting like this was a move that was so common sense that Chip Kelly should have done it a month ago.
No.
Gabbert, he lost his job to Gabbert last year around this time. A guy with a 5-22 record. He lost his job to that guy. Then he lost his job to him this summer again. There's no reason to believe that Colin Kaepernick is some savior here.
He wasn't around the powers of the great Kazoo.
He was around in the summer.
Here's the reasoning why, if you want a reason why. He obviously wasn't physically right last year. That's three surgeries in the offseason speaks to that. But then that opens up a whole other.
What about all of his mental problems playing last year when he didn't see open receivers? There was a one play at the goal line where the guy's wide open and he never even sees him. That has nothing to do with his physical ability.
But perhaps the surgeries coupled with a new perspective. I mean, what do you have to lose? I thought the Blaine Gabbert, maybe he earned the job to start the season. But he was always Blaine Gabbert, one of the most notorious draft busts ever in the last 20 years.
He's the 35th ranked PFF quarterback, and he deserves it because most of his bigger plays outside of getting up 14-0 on the Cowboys a couple weeks ago where he made a couple of nice passes, Gabbert does fundamentally incorrect things on short screen passes and throws to running backs. Absolutely. I agree with Kaepernick, but I think that Gabbert effectively worked himself out of the job. And this is bad
right.
teams when you're floating and you're trying to do anything to kind of shift the tide. That's so the quarterback switch happens. I don't think Chip Kelly is going to sit around and tell everyone that Colin Kaepernick is the guy from 2012. Anyone that's watching.
He said the opposite, actually.
Yeah, he said he's not the same guy. But here's why I think there is just a tiny bit of hope. We haven't seen him with Chip Kelly. We saw him with Jeep Christ and Jim Tomsula. And there's no talent around, you know, Kaepernick or any 49ers quarterback, so it's going to be hard. But I'd like to see him with Chip Kelly. To me, that's a different equation than it is with Jeep Christ. And I know it was just the preseason, but he had that one game that he had after.
He had one drive?
He first made a statement.
What about
he
the
had
game
a couple
before
nice
that?
Drives.
He was abysmal.
Bad. Well, you said he was there in the summer, but he didn't practice fully all OTA.
The preseason is the summer, Greg.
But
it's August.
He missed a couple weeks in the preseason, too, with an injury.
But that's one of the reasons that Gabbert absolutely dug in and got this job early is because he was with his teammates
right.
through all of OTAs and everything else,
and
Gabbert
half,
was not able
Gabbert
to participate
was hurt
during
for
that
half
time.
A training camp.
But I would, one thing is I think the next thing is if this doesn't work, it's not just, hey, let's see him in Chip Kelly's offense. I think Chip Kelly's offense is not the spectacle it was when it was
right.
unknown a couple years ago. It has been figured out by defenses, and that's not a huge advantage for Kaepernick.
Let's move on, guys, to another team dealing with some offensive issues, the Baltimore Ravens, who after a 16-10 loss to the Redskins on Sunday made the decision to part ways with their offensive coordinator. Mark Trestman has lost his job. The former Bears head coach and now the former Ravens offensive coordinator let go. Marty Mornhinweg, a lifer as an assistant coach, takes over what would be known as a battlefield promotion.
Mm. Mornhinweg.
Yes.
I don't see. Do you want us to really annoyingly say that?
What?
Mornhinweg. Mornhinweg.
Oh, I go with Weg. It's Way?
Well, he doesn't. I believe it's silent.
Anyway, I've never heard it pronounced Mornhinweg.
Am I crazy?
I've always heard it with the G.
Now I really wish we didn't go down this path.
Yeah.
Well,
we got to keep
that in the show.
Chris Wessling, you were especially critical of Trestman's play calling in our Sunday show, proof that I will listen to it. Your thoughts on this dismissal?
Rarely do you see a one-game play-calling performance worthy of a dismissal? This is the exception.
You're fired.
Let's go over some factors from this game. 50 dropbacks for Joe Flacco versus 18 handoffs for the Ravens. The Redskins were ranked 32nd against the run. Terrence West averaging 6.5 yards per carry since he was promoted to the starting lineup. The Ravens never trailed by more than 6 points in this game. Washington ranks 13th against short passes, 31st against deep passes. 9 players caught a pass for the Ravens. In that game, not one averaged more than 10 yards per catch, which is almost unprecedented. Not a single receiver averaged more than 10 yards per catch. That's the coup de grace. You can't even get 10 yards in a game against a bad defense. So that game alone, and then the fact that Joe Flacco 2 years ago averaged 9.5 yards per throw, average depth of target. It's 2 yards fewer under Mark Trestman. That's not Joe Flacco's strength. It's not Mike Wallace's strength. It's not Breshad Perriman's strength. It's not the running game's strength. He's doing exactly opposite of what the personnel should dictate.
And how about throw in the fact that, talk about self-scouting, you know, you've been talking up West. West has looked like the best running back for Baltimore for weeks and weeks, and they had him behind someone that they just released.
Yeah.
And this hasn't been just like a one-game trend. He has completed the fewest passes that traveled over 20 yards of any quarterback that's played every game this year. He's hit 5 all year. So that's one a game. You look at the yards per attempt and the dink and dunks. The week before, he threw 50 passes and didn't have much yardage. And so it was a strange mix, I guess. Well, and we talked about it a little bit, too. I think Mark Trestman has that reputation a bit as a professorial type that maybe that's not going to resonate with every player. That's not necessarily fair. He was put into this position. He is who he is. But Harbaugh's not afraid to fire people. He's shown that.
Well, when we credit guys like Josh McDaniels and Bill Belichick for adjusting to their players' strengths.
Yeah.
And we don't cite examples of the opposite. This is it. He tried to turn Joe Flacco into a guy who makes short window throws, you know, 10 yards within the line of scrimmage. He's a gunslinger who attacks down the field off of play action, and that's what they should be doing.
Last time the Ravens fired their offensive coordinator, they went to the Super Bowl, and they won the Super Bowl.
That was Cam Cameron back in December 2012. Jim Caldwell was the OC, and he ended up getting a head coaching job eventually. I don't think Marty Morton Way.
I think it is Wegg.
It's
I
Wegg.
Take it all back.
Oh, jeez.
Got to keep it in, though, because
taking
it was
now
ultra
now
awkward.
It does have to get in.
Marty hopes to have a similar run all the way to February football. We'll see how it plays out. Speaking of the Ravens, here's a former Raven, Justin Forsett, who rushed for 1,200 yards for John Harbaugh a couple of years back, was released last week after kind of falling out of favor in their offensive scheme. He has landed with the Detroit Lions, a team that certainly can use some help. Rookie Dwayne Washington having some ankle issues. Theo Riddick really isn't that type of guy. And, of course, Amir Abdullah, we might have seen the last of him. He suffered a foot injury a couple of weeks ago. Mark, good signing for Detroit, or won't make a ripple?
I think they absolutely just need someone in that backfield to start to take charge. You know, it's the last couple games when they've not had Abdullah in there. They're averaging about 65 yards per game on the ground. And I feel like Detroit, for years and years, post-Barry Sanders, has been one of these teams that just has struggled to find a running back that you can count on for year after year. It's always this, you know, hodgepodge, this committee. I like Theo Riddick, some of the things he does, but he's not a workhorse running back. So when you get the injuries they've had, Forsett is probably going to see work right away, a lot of it.
Yeah, I think he'll be their early down back, and maybe he can average 4 yards per carry, maybe. They should never use him in the passing game because that has gone from a strength to a major weakness in his game over the last few years.
Yeah, I mean, Riddick is a
– and they have Riddick for that, yeah.
Riddick is a foundation guy for them. He's a guy who has a long-term contract. At what he does, he's one of the very best in the league, as Wes, you know, put on his best third and down backs. They just need someone to carry the ball, and I guess they're not into Zach Zenner and –
Dwayne Washington.
Washington's got to get healthy.
Moving on, let's talk some Cleveland Browns football. And their quarterback carousel continues to spin. Charlie Whitehurst, a favorite of the Around the NFL podcast. We would play Glycerine right now, but we've been robbed of the right to do that. So just imagine a Bush single from 1996 right now.
Hmm.
Okay.
That was fun.
It's a rare time that actually not having the music might be good. Bush is the worst.
I saw Gavin Rossdale at a restaurant that Greg suggested my wife and I go to. And just connect the dots there. Maybe Gavin Rossdale also frequents this Thai restaurant or Korean restaurant, and one day there was some type of snafu about a table.
No.
And now this is
holy
war. Yeah. It's all coming together.
No, I was just someone that watched MTV all day, and when Machine Head came on, or whatever their first single was, which is the worst song ever.
Everything was, Zen was the was, first
it
single.
That was terrible.
Can we get Patrick Kagongo to emulate Glycerine?
Kagongo.
put it in our studio.
Kagongo, our second floor guitar whiz.
By the way, Greg, an underrated foodie.
He's rated.
I mean, I
properly
don't know if people
rated
would know that. Well, all right. Not saying that we don't know that about him.
Like,
but
do
other
we need
people
to like hand out lollipops?
Greg doesn't like to acknowledge that he's a foodie. He calls his wife a foodie.
Yeah.
Well she was a chef. You know, that was her occupation. So that really brought me into the world of culinary delight.
All right, so let's go down the list.
Spoken like a true foodie.
Wow.
Culinary delight.
RG3, one game. Josh McCown came in, one game. Cody Kessler after McCown. Is that correct, Mark?
Yeah.
One couple games. Chaz Whitehurst rolled in. Now he's done. He's been cut. Did I ever say that? He was been released by the Browns. And now is Kevin Hogan's turn. Is that correct, Mark?
Well, it's his
turn.
It sounds like Kessler is on track to play, and McCown doesn't sound like he's too far away from coming back. So I think what they're saying is we'd rather have Kevin Hogan on the active roster than Charlie Whitehurst, too. You know, look, the only thing I said about Charlie Whitehurst on Sunday was I would rather develop or even try or see a young quarterback on a team that's going to go about 1-15 than Charlie Whitehurst. There's literally nothing to know about Charlie Whitehurst.
Right.
By the way, he hurt the team. The offense got a lot worse with him on the field. So, you know, there's no mystery around him. I know you guys may find him entertaining. He was not entertaining me.
Tell that to Jewel. No mystery. Nothing to find out about him.
How long has she been dating
those
him?
Those two have been learning about each other for
How
more than a
she
year.
How long has she been dating
She keeps uncovering layers.
How much mystery is left for Jewel and with Charlie Whitehurst?
You know who thought he was a guy with layers? Nashville Magazine that listed him as one of the 50 hottest
Apologies to that publication.
2013.
I think it was hottest 25.
25. Top
Obviously,
25,
that publication is searching for answers if that's where they need to go.
There's only like 73 men in Nashville.
And not to... Nashville Heat against men there? What?
It's nice to see little Kevin Hogan all grown up.
And not to belabor the point, but this seems especially like, wait, what's going on with Kevin Hogan?
Doesn't he sound like a sitcom character from the 80s? Like a mixture between Kevin Arnold and the kid from the Hogan family?
There was the Hogan family.
There was the Hogan family.
Yeah.
With Sandy Duncan, who had a glass eye. But
thanks for not trampling on my little
I didn't trample it. I just wanted to make sure it got its proper due and people can decide whether it was good or not.
Thank you.
We'll let the public decide. But not to belabor the point, but all the carousel of sadness here juxtaposed against the issue in Philadelphia with Carson Wentz. Oh, come on, enough of this, right?
Well, it's a problem. I found a scout's note on Hogan, who is, you know, he won a lot of games at Stanford, but he's not seen as a pro-ready type quarterback. This is on our website. And this is in quotes, some coach is going to fall in love with the person and bang on the table to take him late in the sixth or seventh. That's fine.
Well, I think the Chiefs did take him in the fifth, right? And then they cut him. They cut him.
You know what? I like the idea of it. You never know where these guys are going to come from. Do it!
Wait, Factory has been replaced by Carousel?
Well, the quarterback situation is the Carousel. The Factory is the larger Browns
That's their
world.
Home.
Yeah. Which is built on an Indian burial ground. This is all. There's a lot of layers to the narrative around the Browns.
And they'll eventually win a Super Bowl, and it won't even be that satisfying. So I don't know what I'm doing.
And by the way,
point.
I did predict the Indians.
This is your new thing.
It is, because by the next day, it's like, got to go back to work. Everyone's like slapping on the back. Hey, that's cool. Your team won. And then like you still have real-life problems. Like, I'm not 8 years old. Well, what am I doing all this for?
Oh.
Yeah. Well, I think that's something that comes
You're waiting
up.
For this magical moment from your childhood to be, like, hatched out of an egg, but there is no magical moment.
Mark, we're all going to die anyway.
Listen, again, I feel out of place on this podcast because when the Jets win the Super Bowl, God willing, in the next 40 years when I'm still alive, that will be a magical
moment. It's just a self-defense mechanism. I will enjoy it too, I hope.
Okay.
You have to work.
It's just not going to happen.
We can speak to Ely about giving you the next day off.
I think what you're hitting on, though, as you're growing older – you think about it, maybe. What is what is all this? Is it going to be as satisfying as if you were 16?
Oh, yeah,
of
I think about
not.
It.
Of
I have
course
some answers,
not.
Too.
It's not going to be as
it
satisfying.
It could be more life- satisfying. I'll go the other way because the weight makes it more special.
Yeah, but your life doesn't revolve around it to the same way it did when you were
right.
17 and you didn't have a ton of interest.
All right. Can we go on? I'm a diehard fan of my sports teams. You guys are all jaded journos. What do you want from me?
I'm not. Yeah. Okay.
Jaded old men.
Ray John.
Moving on. Gary Kubiak will not coach the Broncos on Thursday against the Chargers. He is dealing with a complex migraine condition, which does not sound fun, that announced by general manager John Elway. So against the Chargers, we will not have Kubiak on the sidelines. Instead, it will be special teams coordinator Joe DeCamillis. And I thought it would be Wade Phillips, son of Bun.
So did I.
But apparently they decided to go with old Sugarbug Joe.
Joe D.
Yeah. And I don't know if that will play a big effect in the game, but it certainly could.
I actually wonder if that isn't a smart decision because you can allow the strength of the team and the coach who directs that, Wade Phillips, to be completely unencumbered by other stuff. If you got to seal, if this is a one-week
thing,
point. Keep the defense in place. And obviously, like, they've got a lot of experience. That staff's got a lot of experience,
well,
dudes.
What's the special teams coordinator have to do for 80%?
Right, well, that's basically right. What they said. They didn't want to take away from their jobs. And it's a way that you try to get Joe DeCamillis' name out there. He's a guy who's interviewed for two head coaching jobs.
Jolton Joe DeCamillis.
So
Coops is doing him a solid?
Absolutely, because Wade Phillips knows he's not going to be a head coach anymore. Gary Kubiak's trying to get this guy's name and get him out there. He's not
go,
many
Coops.
Guys interview for head coaching jobs that are special teams coach. He's had a couple.
And I don't want to speak for a man's physical condition in life. I don't know what's going on with Gary Kubiak, but I do remember a few years ago he collapsed on the field at halftime when he was coaching the Texans. So that was a brain issue, as it turned out. Now he's got this complex migraine thing. Bro, you got your ring. You got everything.
Well,
maybe you got to think about it at a certain point. Is this a job for you at a certain point? I wonder if he will be a guy that steps away from the game sooner than you would think because of this.
The tension is that he's actually not that old. It's not
55.
Like we're talking. Right. So he's actually one of the he's right in the middle of the coaching ages. And it's the tension between wanting to get another ring, wanting to completely cement your whole career and have people look at you in a different way versus walking away. And these guys, I'm surprised there aren't more coaches struggling with overt health issues, with the hours and the stress they're under. It is one of the most unhealthy jobs in America.
Kubiak is 55 years old with the hair of a 9-year-old boy. Just jet black.
Sure, it's all natural.
Finally, the Chargers. Members of the Chargers are unhappy with their kicker, Josh Lambeau, after the CBS broadcast minutes after the botched field goal attempt that Lambeau never got a chance to kick. The snap was mishandled, leading to another crushing loss, this time to the Oakland Raiders. Lambeau was captured by CBS, kind of running after Seabass, Sebastian Janikowski, with a big grin on his face. And then they had another shot of Josh Lambeau with laughing with Janikowski as he walked out of frame. And apparently this has led to some tensions in the San Diego locker room. Mark, what did you see here? Did this bother you if you were a member of the Chargers or a fan of the team?
Well, it happened after the game. And if you watch the full broadcast of these games, there are countless players from the losing team going up to friends and coaches and former associates on the other team being good sports, frankly, and like the game sucks, the ending sucked, but they're human at that point, and they're able to deal with it a little differently than some fans. So no, it doesn't bother me the way in the context of how it happened.
It's because he's a kicker.
Exactly.
Yep.
It's because he's a kicker.
Yeah.
If he was any other position, they're not seen as the same as the other 52 guys on the roster.
Bingo.
And I see the point that if it's a repeat problem and somebody's not taking their job seriously or their loss seriously, everybody in the team should say something to them. But if it's a one-time thing and it's just after a game, I've played a lot of sports, and if I had a teammate come to me with an issue with that, there would be a confrontation. You don't get to tell me how to handle a loss. There's no one right or wrong way, and you've got to be a self-centered jerk to think that the way you react to a loss is the only way that's acceptable.
There's a there's a double standard at play here, too, because no one treats the kicker as a real member of the team, but then you want him to react in the same way as everyone else on the team, that a guy that played every play on defense at linebacker and, you know, played his heart out and lost. So it's, you know, it's a tough life for kickers. Just like we talked about Roberto Aguayo, it's a tough life for him. It's a tough life for the Lambinator.
How about the holder who blew that, and just before he dropped that hold, he had a 17-yard punt out of bounds that set up a Raiders touchdown. He was probably still in his head thinking about that chunk when he dropped the field goal.
And here's one other bit about, like, going back to Wes's point. Julio Jones, after that crushing playoff loss a couple of years back to the 49ers?
Game he had 182 yards.
Where he went nuts and they lost in the last play where it was a target towards Tony Gonzalez that didn't work out. He was not upset at all in the locker room, and they asked him why. He said, because I literally did everything I could. I have nothing to be ashamed of. I did my part, and it just didn't work out. Guys react differently to losses. Some guys are gutted. Some guys, they kind of have a different way of looking at it.
And then they freak out if two head coaches don't shake hands after a game, too. So it's like, you know, you can't please. There's no dynamic here that would please everyone.
Okay, that's what's happening in the news. Okay, guys, let's do it. All right.
Wow.
It's time. I just crumpled up every piece of paper and threw it at Mark because it's time to settle this. Nothing personal, Mark.
I liked it, but I was not prepared.
A little caught off guard there. I apologize. It is the Team of ATL decision time. Decision 16. And it is down to two teams, folks. On one half. There's the studio audience here, by the way. Okay. Sydney, you know what we talked about. You got to get them in. You got to huddle them in. Like on The Price is Right, if you drive by CBS Studios in L.A. early in the morning, you'll see all those people lined up at 5 a.m. You got to get them, huddle them, get them in here for the beginning of our segment.
I'm sorry. My time management is real off today.
All right. How about
a
round of boos for Sydney on this one? See, that hurts doubly because she has to hit the button.
Well-deserved.
But Sydney's also like, I'm on Rushmore. I'm untouchable.
Yeah.
So it doesn't matter.
This is like the audience for the debates. There's lots of rules.
Right.
So watch out, audience.
But we encourage applause and all that. Anyway, here we go. So the 5-0 Minnesota Vikings, who is Mark Sessler's nominee for the team of ATL, yet another great performance in Week 5 where they're defense especially really overwhelmed the opponent, this time the Houston Texans, a 31-13 win. And Mark, at this point, as we now take this to vote, you have to be feeling very confident. There's nothing in your mind, or is there, that would lead you to have any doubts that this is the right team? Now 5-0, the only undefeated team in the NFL.
Well, the only issue would be if we keep going, and it sounds like we're not going, or we're going to figure this out today.
Yes.
That it's people. I'm getting tweets. Oh, the Vikings are too good. This is a front runner team, and it's like I'll be honest. I was tweeting about this on after the week two win when people still had plenty of issues over Sam Bradford and when Adrian Peterson had just been lost for the season. So it wasn't a front running team then. It was a team that has since proven what they are, which is for me a fun to watch team. Are they perfect? No, but I kind of like that about them too. And for a lot of things for me, it starts with Mike Zimmer, and it starts with someone like Sam Bradford, who I've never been able to root for in the NFL. I find that to be a different situation now. And it's like last week, you take Stephon Diggs out, doesn't matter. Someone else steps up. I just like the way that they operate from week to week. They are fun for me to watch, and that's my vote.
Well, forget just after week two, which you're right, this was a team that you were honking about in August. And, of course, you know, the injury to Teddy Bridgewater shook some people's confidence in terms of what is the upside of this team. But that's why, to me, that they're so exciting is because of the story, because of the people they're missing, and because they keep fighting.
And Wes, you said that you were going to go back and rewatch the Minnesota Vikings and the Oakland Raiders and see if you could formulate an opinion that maybe would allow you to vote for one of these teams. What were your thoughts after rewatching the five Minnesota games?
So Friday, I went into my lair, tried to get some findings like you do, dialed up Game Pass, and, you know, I quite enjoyed it. And part of it was messages I was getting on Twitter and our subreddit from very sweet, thoughtful, charming Vikings fans basically saying, please, you know, excuse the people who have been idiots, and we'd just like you to consider our team out of the kindness of your heart. And they were very gracious messages, and I took that into consideration. And I enjoyed the games, and I thought, I'm going to go along with this. I'm not going to be a stick in the mud. I'm going to go along with it. And that was my mindset throughout the weekend. And then last night, put on the Texans-Vikings game. The stadium is glorious.
Yes. Mm.
The sun coming in for a Sunday afternoon game. It's glorious. And the helmets, top five helmet in the National Football League. I'm already getting a little warmed up to this team. And Cordell Patterson reaching his entire body for the goal line. You can see that every member on this team wants it on every play. What put it in and made this organic for me, that I'm not just going along. I caught Vikings fever. When Sam Bradford took that hit right as he was throwing.
Yes.
When he took that hit and looked like the toughest quarterback in the NFL at that time, I'm like, I'm on board. I'm on board these Vikings. They are exactly what Mark said they were. And for charges of front running, that's fine. You can say I'm jumping on board when they're 5-0. Mark saw it when they were 2-0. He saw it in the summer. And Mark's attitude that Sunday night when he kicked his foot up on the table is the Vikings' attitude. I'm doing this. I don't care whether you guys go along. I'm doing this. I don't need you, and the Vikings don't care. You could take our quarterback. You could take our running back. You could take our number one receiver. You could take our tackles. We're doing this, and I'm doing it, Mark. I'm on board with the Vikings.
Love it.
Now, would this have anything to do with you getting a bouquet of flowers and a balloon and chocolate?
That's right. I was wondering. I was waiting for that to come
up. Is it that easy to buy Chris Wessling? That's the question I have to ask. Well, I got to ask the question.
Well, that was a nice gesture, and it was a nice card. It was a teddy bear and flowers and
from some Vikings
and chocolate
fans.
From Vikings fans, and it was basically the same message. Sorry, don't let a few – and this was something I had already thought. I already thought the line – I remember my senior year of high school, our principal said this about a couple of students. We're not going to let a few rotten apples spoil the whole bunch. And I thought that over the weekend, and I was like, yeah, let's get past the rotten apples. And the card that these Vikings sent me said the exact same line. Right. Please don't let a few rotten apples spoil the whole bunch.
There you go.
I mean, in our defense, we've been telling you that for weeks as well.
Right. But I was sticking up for you guys, too. I wasn't just doing it for myself.
And coming out of week five, I don't know when we've picked these teams in the past, but this is not an outrageous time frame. We've come to a decision, potentially.
Now, let me now on the other side of things.
The autumn wind is a pirate, blustering in from sea. With a rollicking song he sweeps along, swaggering boisterously.
Now, let me tell you something. I see the writing on the wall here, and I'm not going to be a jerk about this. I think the Vikings are a fun team to get excited about. So who am I to stand in the way and throw a fit about this? So, yes, if it comes to it, I can get behind the Vikings. But before that happens, I want to make sure it's clear that everyone knows that the Raiders, in a lot of ways, were the ideal team of ATL for this year. I'll tell you why. First of all, they're 4-1, and they win games in a fun, exciting way. Now, there are different ways to look at the team of ATL. One is to get into the lab and see what you like about how they play defense, offense, the way certain elements about how the team looks on a week-to-week basis. And then there's another way to look at it. Which team, despite not being the most talented, the Vikings potentially are a Super Bowl team. The Raiders aren't going to sniff the Super Bowl, I don't think, this season. But they are a fun team. They have wins of 35-34, 28-27, and 34-31 One of those wins, of course, on a two-point conversion try with seconds remaining in the game. Another one where Lady Luck steps in and botches a snap on a field goal. If you turn on the Raiders this season, you're going to get a fun game from a team on the rise with an exciting young quarterback. And you want to get excited about Sam Bradford now being back in Minnesota, and now things are starting to click for him. Well, I got Derek Carr, who's a second-round pick who's emerging as a star player. You have talent on both sides of the ball. The defense, obviously, is not a great defense, but they are making strides. They're 4-1. They're winning games. Lil Debbie, of course, is involved. I think that is something that should not pass. We're going to go against the team that Lil Debbie has fought for. She sent out another tweet on Sunday defending her Raiders. And finally, well, two more points. Jack Del Rio. To me, the new Riverboat Ron after what he did in Week 1. Black Jack Del Rio is one of my favorite things I've ever seen a coach do, was going for two.
Does it every week. Did it last week against the Chargers.
This is nothing new. Spot.
He is Black Jack, and we got behind Riverboat Ron a few years back for the very reason, a guy that's not afraid to be different, think outside the box. And lastly, and Mark was on the Vikings in the preseason, but the Raiders are the only team out of the four that was picked before the season started. I thought before the season this team was going to be a team to be excited about, and they absolutely were. So it doesn't look like we're going to pick them, but that doesn't mean that we shouldn't have picked them. That is my side on this.
I admire you. I have nothing to hang your head about here. You knew last week that it was probably going to be Vikings or nothing, and you went along with it, but you continued your campaign. You have not wavered. You have tweeted a lot of stuff out. You have stayed supporting the Raiders. I think that speaks strongly to your character.
Thank you, Wes. I appreciate that. We also have a lot of support for the Raiders on our subreddit. In fact, they won a vote in terms of the team that we should go with. So, yes, there are reasons. I'm still going to root for the Raiders. I think they're a fun team, only not in a hardcore way because I'm a Jets fan, so I don't really split things like that. But I know that you're in for an exciting game with the Raiders. Greg, your thoughts?
Oh, I love the Raiders. I love having the Raiders beaten back in the mix. Like, I love their fan base. I love their uniforms. I love everything about them. You know, they don't get me quite as excited for whatever reason than the Vikings, but the Little Debbie argument is the tough one. I do feel like we need to figure that out. Maybe she can be the official rapper of the Around the NFL podcast or something.
I feel like we might be burning a bridge here.
I hope not.
Well,
She still likes us.
I don't think that voting for the Vikings is against the Raiders either, because the Raiders I thought that this Vikings thing was burning down, I would have not had a problem going Raiders either. I think this is more about consensus than it is making a statement about the Oakland Raiders, because they have been, everything you said is true about them, and it can't be taken away, and you have been on that train from the start, and we're not looking to burn bridges with Little Debbie or our host. So, you know, there's issues out there, but it's really about this group's trying to come to an agreement, and that's been more the issue than are the Raiders worthy. They certainly are.
I mean, like I said, the team of ATL, I just want us to pick a team. I have a team. They're the Jets. So this is all secondary to me. So let's now officially let's make it certified, all in favor of the Minnesota Vikings as the 2016 team of Around the NFL. Say yay.
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 Yay. All opposed. All right.
Oh, some Raiders fans in the crowd.
Wow.
That's more for Dan.
That effort got booed.
So, your official team of Around the NFL 2016 is the Minnesota Vikings.
Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah.
They will effectively lose 11 in a row.
And now that they're picked and all that's good, I just want to say one other thing. You know, this team, high up in the pain rankings for a reason. They break their fan bases hard every year. But, again, we're not trying to pick a Super Bowl winner here.
No. No.
So that might, even if they do break hearts again, if that happens in the NFC divisional playoffs, it doesn't mean it's a
You know what?
Pick.
Every team of ATL is broken
they're
hearts
not a,
by the end
they're
of
They're not
the
a perfect team. If they end up 12-4 or 11-5, that means they're going to go 7-4, you know, 6-5 the rest of the way. There's going to be some ups and downs. This team, it's about the journey.
Yeah, it's about we want to be along for the ride.
Get on that ride.
We want to be along for the ride.
Now, I would like to see some type of town hall, now with Wes and the critics all get together and maybe a kumbaya moment. Is that possible? We can do that.
Why would I want to do that?
I don't know.
What
now that you're on board with the Vikings, you guys are one in the same. You and these Cretans that you speak of, maybe now you could break bread together.
Do you even know me?
I do know you very well.
Right. Why? They don't need to be in my life. I'm not trying to have Cretans in my life. That's what the block button's for, Dan.
Okay.
Life is too short to deal with Cretans.
Well, you did. You did come around to pick the Vikings. I mean, you were very strong against that at certain points, so maybe this would turn too. I don't know. It's a brave new world. Wes, you're in on the Vikings.
Those people do not exist in my world anymore, Dan.
The world is crazy. The Around the League podcast has chosen a team led by Sammy Bradford as the team that they want to choose. The world's – everything's changing.
And he's never exciting to watch.
So you guys chose.
I see, Dan. Whoa. This is what we talked about, though. This is what we talked about.
No, I'm on board. Yeah, totally on board.
And I know Mark's phobia is that, like, they'll go on a losing streak and we'll all lash out at him. I promise I won't do that. I'm on board this team because I think they're exciting.
Well, I thought that you almost tongue-kissed Mark when you were doing your little speech, so I figured you're not going to turn on him.
Hey, that came from a natural place.
There is some natural heat coming from Dan, too, and it is on my radar, and I am concerned.
I am on board with the Vikings.
You don't get to make snide comments all the time.
I could do whatever I want.
This is your team now.
I will say this, though. You guys, the reason why I was, you know, one of the reasons I was not all the way on board was because Sam Bradford. So hopefully he doesn't turn into a pumpkin. That's all. I'm on board. Let's hope everything works out here.
You should go down into your own lair and see what findings you come up with.
I found him. I found him the first 7 years of Sam Bradford's career in the NFL. We'll see. Let's hope. Let's hope everything's good now. Just don't want us to have egg on our faces collectively. That's all.
Well,
attitude that you are displaying right now.
If we have egg on our faces,
befitting the team of ATL.
Right. If we have egg in our faces, you will somehow have it on the three of our faces while you ride off in a cream colored Porsche towards your house or something.
Cream colored Porsche.
Give me a break. You're part of this,
right? Mark talked about winning a Super Bowl. Maybe wouldn't. The elation wouldn't last long. I think it took 15 seconds for the community feeling after choosing the team of ATL to fall apart.
Hey, I voted. I'm in. But, you know, once upon a time, Wes voted for the Chargers.
Yeah.
All right.
I didn't like that.
This is ominous stuff coming from you.
Let the record show that you voted for the Vikings last week before I did, and now you're the holdout.
I'm not a holdout. I voted. It's done.
Emotionally, you're a holdout.
Oh, well, that's different.
This is
but
like
I cast my vote.
The sitcom cliffhanger where you finally learn who gets together to end the season, and then they start the very next season within the first 5 minutes. It's all like, oh no, actually, that's
just like you were saying, Mark, and you're saying, you know, go have a nice day, you pick who you want, I'm gonna be riding the Vikings. I'm still in the Raiders corner, but as a group, I'm, you know.
Yeah.
Well, the second part of that instruction was don't join the Vikings scenario if you're going to be, you know.
I'm here.
Well, we'll find out if you're here.
Oh,
you're just doing it for the show.
I'm here.
Oh, this is absurd. Dan is now dancing around in his seat.
All right. So there you go, everybody. You can stop tweeting us about how annoying the team of ATL is and how what's taking so long. We're done. The Vikings are the team of ATL for 2016. And you know what? Get the studio audience out of here.
Okay. Such anger.
All right. Here we go. Moving on. Finally, the Thursday night preview. Yes, we alluded to it earlier, or we spoke about it earlier. There will be no Gary Kubiak on the sidelines for the Broncos. It will be Jolton Joe instead when the Broncos try to get back to their winning ways after a loss in Week 5. They take on the San Diego Chargers in San Diego. So here, Mark Sessler is a matchup between two teams coming off losses, but still in very different places on the NFL spectrum right now. Your initial thoughts about this game?
I think it's a very different Broncos team right out of the gate. If you get Trevor Siemian in over Paxton Lynch, who was a picture of dangerous downfield lobs into coverage last week, Simeon's not been doing the same thing. If they get him back at healthy, and if you get Donald Stevenson back at right tackle, which was a major issue for them last year. They made the Atlanta Falcons look like the 1986 Giants. So, you know, you're dealing – it's a game against a banged-up Chargers team, and you're not going to get picked on the way Matt Ryan did, throwing it to the best backfield combination in the league, short and mid-range passes, eating up the middle of your defense for big yardage. It's a different situation.
I appreciate you throwing out the 86 Giants, because everyone always just says the 85 Bears whenever they're looking for kind of the – they made them look that. I saw that on Monday night. Everyone's always like, they made them look like the 85 Bears. You went somewhere
way to mix
different.
It up.
All right.
Way to mix it up.
Big year for Wes and I.
If you ever talk about the 78 Falcons, then we can really get into it.
Whoa.
Wow, 78 Falcons.
The grit split.
Like
you don't hear that too often.
That would be – that would see, that would have been an even better reference, Mark.
No, it would have been worse because nobody would have known, and it would have fallen on deaf ears.
This Broncos team is a proud group, and they haven't been able to stop the run lately. And I think they're going to look at this Chargers team and not really be too afraid of Melvin Gordon, who's – not really the runner that we expected coming out of college. He's kind of the opposite. He's pretty good in the passing game. He's a tough runner that runs over people, but he doesn't make anyone miss. The Chargers are only going to beat them by throwing the ball a lot.
Which is problematic.
And it's tough for any team to do that against Denver.
If people thought the Falcons provided a blueprint, the Chargers don't have the personnel to follow suit. They are best when they pass, like you said, which fits right into what the Broncos want you to do, drop back to pass so they can unleash Von Miller, Shaq Barrett, Shane Ray, and then their three cornerbacks who are really shut down corners. Melvin Gordon doesn't have the skill set of Tevin Coleman or Devonta Freeman. He's not going to burn your linebackers down the sideline.
No, but I think the Chargers can keep it close. This is one of those teams. You said you're going to still root for the Raiders. I root for the Chargers every week. I still really like this team. I find them entertaining. I think they have good players. Their games are obviously always close. It's sad how they blow every game. Joey Bosa was fun to watch last week. He made a huge impact. Melvin Ingram's playing really well. They have this young kid, Jatavis Brown, who came in for Manti Te'o. That's an upgrade. That did not hurt them at all, losing Manti Te'o. They've got players on this team. Tyrell Williams has made a lot of plays for them this year. Rivers is playing well. It's not a bad roster. They could easily be 3-2, 4-1.
But they are not they are not a diverse offense in the way that what Atlanta can do so many different things. And that really was a matchup game for me. If you look at the Chargers, they use simply one back sets. Almost 75% of the time. They're in three wide receiver sets in such a majority that that's essentially their attack.
But they haven't had Gates, and they had the Gates and Henry offense last week. Hunter Henry's good. I don't know what we're getting out of Antonio Gates, but he did make a couple catches last week. If you're going to beat them, maybe it's picking on the linebackers with those two tight ends.
You want to check in, by the way, on Wes's Desert Consigliere, Mr. Spice Rack, gets back on the show. If Melvin Gordon runs for 1,000 yards.
What's he on pace for?
Well, he's on pace for 1,300 total yards. But what we said was rushing yards. And right now he is off the pace, not by much. He's on pace for 957 rushing yards.
Ooh.
So Spicy, right on the cusp. Will we ever hear from him again? That's up to the San Diego Chargers.
He's on pace for 20 touchdowns, though.
Right. He's been a great.
We might have to let Spice Track come on the show if he gets 20
rules
touchdowns.
Rules
He's been
right,
a great fantasy pickup.
If he gets 1,000 yards rushing or 20 touchdowns, Melvin Gordon.
Thanks for your largesse.
Yeah, Spice Rack back on the show. Anyway, so does anyone believe that San Diego will get over the hump in this game and get back to their winning ways? And is Trevor Siemian playing, by the way?
He's expected to, but we don't know for sure.
Because that was a big loss, as it turned out.
He's practicing, and they had him in shoulder pads today to try to see what he could do with full range of motion.
Like the fashion shoulder pads?
Well, it was a non-padded practice, so he was the only one. So maybe they're trying to simulate.
They got to get
not women's fashion of
enough. No, it was not like a Hillary Clinton-esque like pantsuit shoulder pad scenario.
Save for the political podcast, Mark. Coming up.
I got some stuff for that podcast.
Anybody going to pick the San Diego Chargers? Speak now or forever hold your peace.
Come on, Greg. You know you want to.
Come on, Greg. Do it.
I'm not going to do it just for the sake of it. It wouldn't surprise me, but no. I'm not going
to
do it. They'll find
it wouldn't surprise me.
Yeah. Well, what? I don't believe it. I don't believe they'll win. I believe they'll find a way to lose another close game and that Mike McCoy will be leading the top of our next pod. Well, actually,
there will be a whimpering man in his future.
I have a feeling that he's probably going to lose his job if they lose this game. I don't think that's a bold statement. Ian Rappaport and other insiders have alluded to that.
Southern California looking right now. Mike McCoy's home. Why does it bother you so much?
It is very disturbing.
I think it's funny.
Is it the idea of flesh melting?
Well, it's like, you know, Wes and many others were offended by dogs yelping. I care about humans.
But this sounds like a fake. This sounds like a fake whimper, and that's why I find it funny.
This is someone that you occasionally see at league events. He, by all accounts, is a great offensive coordinator and a good guy, and we're simulating him being burned in a fire. It's slightly uncomfortable.
As an analogy for him losing his job.
Right.
So you're big on that. Which doesn't help.
You're big on that. You're big on let's treat these guys like humans, like anybody else losing their jobs. You're huge on that, Greg.
I am
90% of the time.
He's so big on that. You love that. You're like, oh, we shouldn't talk about this guy because he's got a family.
I am hardly
all right,
that guy.
Scratch him off the list.
I am hardly that guy. I feel for those poor Chargers fans. That's who's burning. Give them something to root for. Win this game. I think they can win it. They can absolutely win it. Do
you
it.
You know what I would love?
Pick them, Greg.
They're going to win the game.
We just completely snow-jobbed Greg. Yeah. That's fantastic.
I also would love to
see
NFL media research. What is the you know, since Thursday Night Football started, the percentage of the home team winning? It seems like a huge advantage yearly.
I think there's a couple things happening. Like, the Chargers so desperately need this, and they all know it. There's not a even their laughing kicker knows it. They need to get this thing.
Hey, Olambo! Lambo the laugher!
You're not asking.
Johnny chuckles.
You're not asking.
Nice miss, buddy boy! Hey!
Johnny chuckles.
Hey, Seabass! Get over here! You old chum!
He is back in the mix at an unlikely time. Why did I cue that up? You're not asking a team to go from Jacksonville to San Diego. It's Denver, but I think this is Denver's
game. I like
Mark
trying to recover.
I am trying to. We talk about the Vikings overcoming stuff. This is Denver's game with an interim coach for one game and a quarterback that's coming off injury, probably isn't fully healthy on any level. This is their way to show people on national television, we are that AFC version of that.
What?
I'm attempting to distribute information to the listener. In absolute chaos. No thanks to you.
Hey, Janikowski. I really respect what you've done in your career.
Why did his voice just get a lot faster?
I don't know. It's Johnny Chuckles.
I mean, Johnny Chuckles is a total wild card. What's in his system or his bloodstream? We don't know.
A lot of cocaine. All right. That's it. So, Greg, you took the Chargers. Good job.
I did.
Got
to. Got to hear
what about
you?
Wes.
Wes, are you still alive in our survivor pool?
I forgot to turn in my pick last week. I was alive until then.
Zeus advances.
I completely forgot that was in my life.
Okay. I might have won. We'll see what happens. We will be back on Thursday night with the recap of the Denver at San Diego matchup and then a full preview of all the Week 6 games. And once again, I must thank all the listeners. We have to salute you. Our downloads continue to grow. We are really, the audience is almost doubled now from where it was last year. So thank you. Continue help spreading the word of the Around the NFL podcast. Wes?
We had a very nice Packers fan who sent us a wheel of nice cheeses and sausages. Her name was Julie.
People
thank you, Julie.
They're too nice.
I love that. It actually prompted a missive from a shadowy league figure.
It did.
You know, be careful about some of these gifts. You might have to declare them with other shadowy league figures.
We have this Orwellian plan in our life called a compliance plan where we have to declare all gifts over X amount of dollars. It's really – no one would have thunk this up outside of a novel 100
years. Well, it's not unusual for a media company to have that rule. But I think if we've given – I don't even want the meats and cheeses. I appreciate the gesture, but I can't eat them. So my portion went to other various people. At that point, if it did cross the price barrier, it certainly came back down under. I think if you give part of the gift away to people in the office, you chip it off the final cost.
Mm. All right. Anyway. So
Mark,
that
was Mark's subtle way of saying send some raw food next time.
Yeah.
Well, no, don't send raw food through the mail.
Or if a Shadowy League figure is listening to this, I am not involved with this.
Yeah.
I have not taken any of the goods. All right. We'll be back with the goods, Greg, Thursday night. Until then, this is Dan Hansa signing off for the Quiet Storm, the mailman, the boss, and the wonderful Lassid behind the glass. Man, these Vikings better be worth it. Till Thursday. We'll be right back.
Mr. F. Mr. F. Mr. F. Mr. F. Mr. F.